A very good morning to you all and welcome to day 6 of our 40 days Lenten prayers and reflections. Today is Tuesday, 23rd February 2021. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you invite us deeper into your world, your people, your land. May this time be one of outward focus, seeking you in those we often ignore. Help us live a Lent focused on freedom, generosity, and encounter. Give us hearts hungry to serve you and those who need what we have to give. Look with favor, Lord, on your household. Grant that though our flesh be humbled by abstinence from food, our souls hungering after you may be resplendent in your sight. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Listen for the word of God from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, the verses 8 to 19. And the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. To the woman, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." Where are you? Dear friends, we continue this morning with the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, where the serpent deceived and plunged them into sin and death. And one of the great lessons we learned from that text is that disobedience to God or sin and the things we crave, which are not ours, often expose our nakedness. The open eyes of Adam and Eve only saw their naked bodies. Today we continue with the story from verse 8, where God enters the scene. God would often come around and walk in the garden and probably have time to converse with the first humans and find out how they were doing and how the other creatures were doing. But this time, when Adam and the wife heard God coming, they hid from the Lord behind the trees of the garden. "Where are you?" God called out. Answer, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" Dear friends, when Adam told God he was hiding because he was naked, God knew that he had done what he had commanded him not to do. Did you eat from the tree? Did you do it? Before now, God would meet Adam and Eve in the garden, and they would have an open conversation in complete freedom of conscience. But now it was different. Something had gone wrong, and attitudes had changed. The people who had been told by the serpent that they will be like God were not still able to confront their equal. That is, if they themselves had become gods as the devil had made them believe. They were still humans, while God remained God. "Where are you?" God asked the man. "We are hiding." Sin hardly changes anything positively in our lives. It makes us to hide. And the next part of the story is quite interesting. Adam refuses to take responsibility for his actions, but shifts the blame to the woman, and the woman does the same to the serpent. In order to justify himself before God, Adam even refers to his wife as "the woman you put here with me." "That is the one who gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate." You remember that at Genesis 2:23, after God had formed the woman from the rib of the man and brought her to him, Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." After the fall, after the disobedience and sin, this bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh has become estranged. She is now the woman you put here with me. And when God asked the woman why she did it, she said the serpent deceived her to do it. In other words, it was not the fault of Adam, but that of his wife. And it was not the fault of Eve, but that of the serpent. How many times have we refused to take responsibility for our actions and rather shifted the blame to somebody or something else, or simply said, "It is not my fault"? Venture to say, friends, this is the same irresponsible attitude many people adopt when they get into trouble because they failed to examine a proposal from a friend or family or spouse. And when this particular project did not work, they blamed it on the other person. Or when a couple agrees to do something and it doesn't turn out well, often the man would blame it on the woman. And there are many men who started off well, calling their wives all kinds of beautiful names, but because of some misunderstanding, they now refer to their wives as this or that woman. And at the slightest problem, some men would call their parents or those of their wife and say, "The woman you people gave me has put me in trouble." And the same goes for some women. What a shame. We don't want to take responsibility for our mistakes. It is the attitude of "it is not my fault" that is common amongst us. But the lesson I want us to learn from this text is that sin and disobedience takes away our freedom. Where are you, Adam? "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." But Adam, you are not supposed to be hiding. You are a free being and you are supposed to be moving about and doing things normally. Now you have done what you should not have done. And you have imprisoned yourself and exposed your nakedness. Where are you, Adam? Can I see you? "No, Lord. I am no longer the person you wanted me to be. And so I am hiding myself from you. I have become a prisoner and I am serving my prison sentence. My sins have imprisoned me and I am no longer free." There are many naked people walking around looking dressed up. People who are unfaithful in relationships and are unable to look at their spouses and partners in the eyes because they know they have strayed. Children whose parents are suffering from depression because of their waywardness and for which they carry a heavy burden of guilt. Many people are hiding because of sins they are finding hard to cope with. And even though nobody knows about those secret sins, they are not free at all because their consciences accuse them and they fear the consequences of being found out. Sin takes something away from us. Sin makes us want to hide. And until we acknowledge our sin and ask for forgiveness, we would continue to hide and to suffer from spiritual imprisonment and slavery to sin. You remember what Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Hubert Mora was research professor of psychology at the University of Illinois. Mora critiqued Freudian psychology and its assertion that guilt was merely a pathology to be dispensed with. But he provides a very helpful description of the importance of forgiveness in relation to guilt and sin. This is what he wrote. "Just so long as a person lives under the shadow of real, unacknowledged, and unexpiated guilt, he cannot accept himself. He will continue to hate himself and to suffer the inevitable consequences of self-hatred. But the moment he begins to accept his guilt and his sinfulness, the possibility of radical reformation opens up, and with this, a new freedom of self-respect and peace." Dear friends, scripture is clear in its witness to the fact that only God can liberate us from our bondage, that only God can heal our brokenness, that only God can cleanse us from our uncleanness and bring life out of our deadness. We cannot do it by ourselves. But to allow someone else to control our life as Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden needs to be seen as weakness to be avoided at all costs. Adam, where are you?
Just let go, baby.
Jesus Christ, you have known us from the beginning of time. You have known us in the depths of our dreams and in the darkness of our shame. You know us as your beloved. Help us to own that core identity more and more in this season of repentance and mercy. Give us the rock-solid assurance of your unwavering faith in us as we seek the same in you. And help us to overcome the temptations of this life so that we may be where you want us to be. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace. Amen.